In the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Anadi Kamana Phale Padi Bhavana Chale. The living entity falls into the ocean of karma bandhana as a result of past material activities. Instead of plunging oneself into the ocean of material activity, one should accept material activity only to maintain body and soul together. The rest of one's time should be devoted to engaging in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In this way, one can attain relief from the reactions of material activity. So, this conclusive verse from this point, the next verses, the Radha Muni goes on to describe how we should engage in devotional service. So, the net total, you know, understanding of the nature of ourself as being a soul entrapped within the subtle body, and the subtle body filled with different material desires and impressions is creating our next body, because it creates a seed of the desires for material activities in creating our next body. So, you know, as Vasudeva, when he was speaking to Kamsa, when he had a little opportunity to speak some philosophy, when Kamsa was in a better mood, he presented this, that really, you know, Kamsa was actually very fearful that Krishna would kill him. In other words, he was fearful of death. But, you know, as Vasudeva pointed out in his philosophy, actually Kamsa, you should be fearful of, you know, your consciousness creating another body, because death is guaranteed. But what you should really be fearful of is your, these materialistic thoughts, which are not sanctioned as good by anyone. You should be fearful of that, because that will create body after body, or death after death. So that's what you should fear. And so here we have this same conclusion that when it comes down to it, we may fear death. We may have so many anxieties for this body, but our real anxiety, our real fear should be, what is going on in my mind? You know, what is going on in my consciousness? Because that is going to produce another body and another set of diseases and another set of, continuation of death. And as it's a chain reaction, which means it is a cycle that's unending, never ends. Our desires in this body create our next body and activities, and those activities literally create another set of desires, and it just goes on like that. So that is the conclusive understanding from all this philosophy, is we come to that point, and therefore, as described, we hear about it in the next verse. The Prabhupada, at the end of this, you know, Prabhupada is quite often in his purports, he is carrying on in his purport from the previous verses. And towards the end of his purports, he sort of leads you into the next verse like that. So as he says at the end, instead of plunging oneself into the ocean of material activity, one should accept material activity only to maintain the body and soul together. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says in his purports, and you know, summarizing Krishna's teachings, there is no prohibition against maintaining your body and soul together. You know, there is no prohibition in the scriptures for maintaining the necessities of life. That is not forbidden. In fact, it's wanted. So one should do that, but unnecessary desires and sense gratification, that is prohibited. And it is recommended to not go down that path. And therefore, by doing that, it says the rest of one's time should be devoted to engaging in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In this way, one can attain relief from the reactions of material activity. So, in this verse, we see that there are two recommendations. Srila Prabhupada, first of all, quotes that this kama bandhana, this being conditioned or chained to the results, the reactions of activities created in different bodies. The only way that we can be free from that bondage to one body after another is, as he quotes in Bhagavad Gita 3.9, jagatakamanunyatra lokoyam kamabandhanaha, if we act for the satisfaction of vision. So that is recommended in the scriptures. Now, so throughout the Gita, this this, when you get to chapter 18, Srila Prabhupada describes that this topic of renunciation and sannyas, these are actually the two topics of Bhagavad Gita. Not engaging in sense gratification. And sannyas means, sannyasi, sat means the supreme, nyasi, to sacrifice everything for the sake of the supreme. That's the real meaning of sannyas. They're the two topics of Gita. And everything sort of fits into those categories. So, to then, the question is, what is the supreme? So, that, as we say, there's two recommendations. One is to work for the satisfaction of Vishuddha, but towards the end, Srila Prabhupada says that one's time should be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. For devotees who have studied the Bhagavad Gita, those two things are compatible. For others who haven't understood the Bhagavad Gita, loving service to the Lord seems to be an incompatibility with serving Vishnu, because they have an impersonal concept of Vishnu. They don't. So, therefore, we see in the 12th chapter of the Gita, Arjuna asks this question. So, Krishna explains to Arjuna that he, the person Krishna, is the cause of everything. He is the spiritual cause of everything. And Arjuna asked him, show me that. So Krishna showed him how the universal form, in other words, the whole universe exists within Krishna. He showed that universal form to Arjuna. And even Arjuna, who knew, because Krishna had always, to one degree or another, especially when speaking of Bhagavad Gita, revealed that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was revealed by so many persons to Arjuna. This Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, when he actually saw Krishna's universal form, he was still struck with wonder and astonishment. So he understood, he accepted from the very beginning that Krishna is the Supreme Person. Still seeing those opulences of Krishna, still he was struck with wonder. Oh my God, you're God. And, although he knew he was God. But still, however, when people read the Gita, they take it that they still take it. It's very difficult for them to understand that Krishna, the person in the human form, is the source of everything. That's very, very difficult for them to understand. And generally they take it that either the universal form is supreme, and that Krishna is subordinate to the universal form. So of course, the Bhagavad Gita refutes that, because it's Krishna's form. If Krishna was an ordinary, if the Supreme is impersonal, and the impersonal Supreme has, temporarily imposed a form of Krishna, which is attached to the material energy, that is an imposition on the Supreme, the form of Krishna is not very important, and they take that the manifestation of the Virata Rupa is superior, and that meditation upon that, some take that as all in all, and others understand that if they meditate upon that impersonal feature of the Lord's being the entire material cosmos, which rests upon Brahman, and then they can gradually meditate upon that universal form and come to the platform and then meditating upon Brahman. But in the beginning, it gives them that fixing point. Or they accept that the forum form of Vishnu is superior to Krishna, and that Krishna's form is still that Vishnu. In fact, some meditate that even Vishnu is an form of Krishna, which is less than Vishnu, and that the form of Vishnu is also ultimately we can meditate upon the super soul, and then gradually we can come to the platform of Brahman realization. So, although people read the scriptures and understand that they should dedicate things to Vishnu to become free from the bondage of birth and death, generally their understanding, the majority of people, if they're, people don't automatically accept Bhagavan. In fact, it's very rare that they come to that conclusion. Automatically they'll take the impersonal concept, because that's the material way of thinking. That's the way the brain works, the material brain, that's all they've got. So automatically they'll accept Vishnu as supreme, the universal form as supreme, but usually Krishna's way down at the bottom of the list, not very important like that. So therefore, quite often in the Vedic literatures, it recommends that we should, if we want to become free from karmic reactions, we should dedicate our activities to the Supreme, and that is done through Vishnu. Because that is much easier to understand or to meditate upon the universal form, which is an aspect of Vishnu, but that is much easier to understand than understanding Krishna. Krishna understanding is very, very, very difficult. So that is mentioned in the. So we see here in the 12th chapter, you know, Arjuna inquires, which you consider to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal among the unmanifested? Now, Krishna explains in the second verse, the Supreme Personal Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered to be considered by me to be most perfect. So Krishna goes on to explain that the impersonal path for those who cannot understand the personal Godhead, if they have an impersonal conception, then still that is good. In the purport he mentions that therefore it is, you know, even if one is meditating in an impersonal way, that the living entity that we are one with the Supreme, that is acceptable. So one with the Supreme means that I have the same quality as Brahman. So at least that identification should be there, that I am Brahman. The Supreme is Brahman, I am Brahman, at least, so therefore there's oneness. So the variety of understanding that Brahman exists as Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who expands as Vishnu, the Parabrahma, and the living entity. That is a further understanding, but at least one should understand that one is Brahman. So that is an acceptable path, but one should not remain on the material platform thinking I am the material body, because that just creates, you know, material desires in one body after another. One has to come to the platform of stop thinking in term, and acting in terms of the body and material desires. So at least by coming to the impersonal concept that is acceptable, that may help one eventually come to Krishna consciousness, because at least on that platform, that spiritual platform, if one associates with the devotee, he hears there's a little bit more information about Brahman, some variety, and explains the difference between the person of the Godhead and the living entity, then those persons can elevate. But as Prabhupada says in this purport, he says, in the purport to the next verse, he says, verse 5, for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So he says, for the devotee, there is no difficulty in approaching the Supreme immediately and directly, but for those who are following the impersonal way of spiritual realization, the path is difficult. They have to understand the unmanifested representation of the Supreme through such Vedic literatures as the Upanishads. So to come to the devotees can come to the temple, offer their pranams, sing and chant, make some nice garlands, make some tulsi beads, have some prasadam, you know, hear nice pastimes about it, very easy. To follow the impersonal path, first they have to understand the concept of the ultimate reality is this, you know, from the scriptures. So that, and they have to learn the Sanskrit and be able to, you know, study the meaning of the Upanishads, very difficult. Understand the non-perceptual feelings, so we have a material body and we're used to, with senses, that's how we perceive everything. And then to come to the impersonal platform, you have to reverse that, and anything you're perceiving with your material body, you have to reject that and somehow perceive something non-central plane. It's not an easy thing to do, he says this is not easy with the common man, especially with the common man. The average Aussie. He says that there is no doubt that the impersonalists are unnecessarily taking a troublesome path with the risk of not realizing the absolute truth at the ultimate end. And the ultimate end is they take that difficult path, they may not come to the personal philosophy. So that risk is there. There's no guarantee as well. Whereas in Bhakti, the guarantee is there. And he says, but the personalists, says a living entity is eternally an individual soul, and if he wants to merge into the spiritual whole, he may accomplish the realization of the eternal and knowledgeable aspects of his original nature. But the blissful portion is not realized. So if we remain on the platform of realizing our eternal nature as a spirit soul, we may come to the platform of eternality, but the ananda on the platform of spiritual life will not be attained. There's no, for that there must be spiritual activity. So that's another problem. It says that a transcendentalist highly learned in the process of jnana yoga may come to the point of bhakti yoga or devotional service. At that time, long practice in impersonalism also becomes a source of trouble because he cannot give up the idea. Therefore, the embodied soul is always in difficulty with the unmanifest, both at the time of practice and the time of realization. So then, one who takes to that impersonal path, if they become successful, there are even bigger problems. Because they become attached to activities that oppose devotion. So they become attached to this platform of austerity, renunciation, which is cutting down the senses, shutting down the senses, and practicing great difficulty and austerity. I remember as a brahmachari that there was one person who used to come to the temple, have prasadam with us, and sometimes join in kirtans and classes. When we'd all pay obeisances, he would bang his head on the ground several times. Austerity. So they're just, the devotees are doing the easy thing, touching their head. I'm doing the real thing. I'm banging my head. I'm austere. I said, there's no need to do that. You don't have to bang in, you don't have to do extra difficulty. But he couldn't give it up. Actually, he never gave it up. I would tell him every day, you don't have to do that. Every day, he'd bang his head. Of course, he couldn't master the body because he ended up with a sore head. You can't, I'll go to the temple today and bang my head several times. Then you lose your touch and go to the temple. How long will it last? So, but that attachment to that austerity. Prabhupada says actually in the beginning of devotional service, devotees, they have a tendency towards impersonalism, generally. We all do. That's impersonalism is that natural, the materialistic way of thinking of spiritual life. So therefore, most people, they come to devotional service, they will practice austerities that don't need to be practiced, and can be a little impersonal in dealings with devotees, and there's an attachment to those things. If they can't give up those attachments, which I've seen many times, then they can only go so far. So so that is personal part, but still the majority in this people cannot understand Krishna, and therefore they've taken the impersonal path. Now, strangely enough, I've got a Bhagavad Gita here. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, Krishna explains that difficulty of, because here it's saying, we're talking about the concept of always thinking of Krishna and always engaging in the loving service of Krishna. And first of all, just coming to the point of understanding Vishnu, even from an impersonal prospect, is very difficult. If one advances to a personal understanding of Vishnu, that's very good. But understanding Krishna, that's way beyond that. Although, generally, every person who has commented upon the Gita, except the Vaishnavas in Parampara, accepts Krishna as an inferior meditation. The person Krishna is counted as something which we really don't have to think of much. When Krishna says, think of me, then we'll think of the universal form, we'll think of Vishnu, we'll think of this, but really. Because Krishna is very confusing for them. And they actually feel that Krishna is, because of his human-like form, especially when he's a little baby. Even though he killed the demon like Katana, they're thinking that still he's just a little baby. Maybe some demigods, like Mother Yasoda, paid attention. Maybe some demigods actually protected him or something. That he's really just a little baby. How can God be a little baby? That's just really difficult. Even if you're a Christian, Muslim, Judaism, they believe in God, they got some sense of personism. You tell them God's a little baby, even they can't understand. And they're theistic. Of course, we understand that Krishna presents his universal form because people, to have some sense of something being supreme, they have to get a sense of great power, unlimited power. So therefore, the Lord displays unlimited power in the universal form. All-pervading feature, as the super soul, but as a little baby, Krishna shows no power, he just remained a little baby. We understand, why did Krishna remain? Because when Krishna killed Katana, she was actually a gigantic demoniac personality, and her form, as it was Krishna was drinking the breast milk, which she'd soaked with poison to kill him. He was sucking her life out, and then she grew into this gigantic form which expanded into 12 miles. Huge. Krishna remained a little baby. Krishna remained a little baby because he didn't want to disturb the love of Mother Yashoda. So actually, for the devotees, the display of God's powers is not, they're not very attracted to that. In the 12th chapter of the Gita, in verse number 8, Srila Prabhupada explains that, the 11th chapter of the Gita, verse 8, Prabhupada says, the pure devotee does not like to see Krishna in any form except his form of two hands. The devotee must see his universal form by his grace, not with the mind, but with spiritual eyes. To see the universal form of Krishna, Arjuna is told not to change his mind and his vision. In other words, even the universal form, as we'll hear, unless one has a tinge of bhakti, in other words, if one in any way derides Krishna, they cannot perceive the universal form. And if someone claims to be seeing the universal form and they deride Krishna, it means what they're seeing is just something in their imagination. They're not actually seeing the universal form. It's not possible. There must be some tinge of bhakti to Krishna. And if that is not there, then one, you cannot just mentally or intellectually see it. It's just something imaginary. The universal form is not there. So Arjuna is to change his mind, not his vision. So how difficult it is just to see the universal form. There must be some bhakti. What to speak of Vishnu and what to speak of Krishna. So then he says the universal form of Krishna is not very important. That would be clear in subsequent verses. Yet, because Arjuna wanted to see it, the Lord gave him a particular vision required to see that form. So Arjuna wanted to see it to prove that Krishna was God. But personally, he had no personal interest. Devotees who are correctly situated in a transcendental relationship, so a loving relationship, with Krishna are attracted by loving features, not by a godless display of opulences. The playmates of Krishna, the friends of Krishna, and the parents of Krishna never want Krishna to show his opulences. They are so immersed in pure love that they do not even know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In their loving exchange, they forget Krishna is the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the boys who play with Krishna are all highly pious souls, and after many, many births are able to play with Krishna. Such boys do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They take him as a personal friend. Prabhupada quotes that verse, Bhagavatam 10.12.11. The fact is that the devotee is not concerned with seeing the visual rupa, the universal form, but Arjuna wanted to see to substantiate Krishna's statements so that in the future people could understand that Krishna not only theoretically or philosophically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually presented himself as such to Arjuna. So actually, you know, devotees, they want to engage in the loving service of Krishna. They don't care that he's God and he must display all sorts of wonderful opulences. That's not very important to them. Therefore, when Krishna was dealing with the town of demon, he remained as a little baby because he didn't want to disturb Mother Yasoda's love by expanding into a gigantic form suitable to kill the Vatana demon. Because he knows that Mother Yasoda just wants to love him. She's not, and that would disturb her love, and he didn't want to do that. And although Krishna was a little baby, still he's God. Big or small, God is God. Whatever form he takes, when he takes the form, as a Vishnu, which is, you know, the size of the thumb within any living entity in the heart, or deity form of the Lord, little Shalagram, Shila, little baby, any form or the human-like form, any form that Krishna takes, he's still God. All of his potencies are there, but in the form of Krishna, he covers over his opulences of God to facilitate loving exchanges with his devotees in order that they will, he likes the form of Krishna. People say God is love, but they don't understand it. Actually, God is unlimited, therefore, God is an unlimited ocean of love. And And that unlimited ocean of love is an unlimited ocean of varieties of love. So people say, what is love? When you discuss the various ways a devotee loves God, as a servant, as a friend, even as a protector, like a parent, or a lover, honor. So they say, God is love. He is unlimited. He's an unlimited ocean of God. And you mention one little aspect of loving God, honor. They can't. God is love means that whatever love is in this universe between me and the lady I'm attracted to, that is God. You know, in person. And therefore I'll imitate Krishna's pastime, Rasa Krishna, you know, Rasa Lila. So the, you know, so the understanding of Krishna is very, very difficult. And as mentioned in this 11th chapter, when Krishna revealed his form, he said, in verse 52, he says, the Supreme Krishna said, my dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form which is so dear. So, the form of Krishna is difficult to see, means also difficult to understand. Understanding is spiritual wisdom that is seen. Brahma, Shiva, all the demigods and sages, they're hopeful that they may get a glimpse of Krishna. Hopeful. But even for them, it's difficult to get that opportunity. Therefore, in this verse, Prabhupada explains in this chapter here, in this purport, that the demigods, Brahma, Shiva, they went to Mother Devaki when Krishna was about to be born, and they offered prayers with the hope that maybe we can see him. They're hopeful like that. So they offered very beautiful prayers. You know, it's like when the guru, sometimes guru comes. Sannyasi or a very nice devotee, you want to see them. So, you know, your mind is thinking, if I can just do a little service, you know, if I can work, if I can just, you know, so perhaps, you know, can I do this little service, you know, like that, with the hope that you may see them interact with them. So the demigods are like that. They're hopeful, because I'm guaranteed. So they're like that. It's a lot. Krishna's mother was satisfied. Krishna's mother, Krishna, and let us see his form. Yeah. Very rare. And it is the most difficult. Even as Prabhupada mentions in the Gita, the form of Mahavishnu, which is most like Krishna, he says. So the features of Mahavishnu, very much like Krishna. But even to see Vishnu, when Bhumi approached the demigods 5,000 years ago before Krishna's appearance, because there was great, you know, problems on the earth that no one could fix, including most of all the demigods. So she went to Brahma. And Brahma took her to Svetadvipa, where Lord Vishnu resides on the island of Svetadvipa in this universe. They remained on the shore and in the Milky Ocean on the island in that Svetadvipa, there is Lord Vishnu. They couldn't even see him. Very rare to see, even for the demigods. and they offered prayers at that. So even the form of Vishnu, very difficult to see. The form of Krishna is more difficult to see, more difficult to understand. So and Krishna explains in that 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that only by devotional service to the Lord can one understand Him, see Him either as a universal form, or to speak of His vision, Nirvana form, or to speak of His form of Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada explains in that purpose, you must have at least a tinge of bhakti to have even, you know, any scope of actually meditating on the universal form, and that's very rare. There has to be a greater degree of bhakti for meditation on Vishnu, and one actually has to exclusively worship Krishna in devotional service to actually understand and see Krishna. There is no other way. It's not possible. And it describes all the different Vedic processes. You can perform this Vedic process, that Vedic process, nothing at the same time to give that understanding. In the purport, in this purport in the 11th chapter, Prabhupada says even people who come to the temple, officially come to the temple, they cannot understand Krishna. He says that in the book of the 11th chapter, towards the end there. You know, they come, so there's some tinge of bhakti, but you'll find that the majority of people who come to the temple do not properly understand Krishna, that He is the personality of God, He is the truth. You know, they worship Krishna, but really that concept that, you know, Krishna is actually God, He is eternal, and everything material and spiritual is coming from Him, that concept is not there. But they liked Krishna for one reason or another, attracted Krishna to passion. So now, you know, one time, therefore when we present Krishna, so this thinking of Krishna, so this devotional service, Prabhupada mentions here, one's time should be engaged in transcendental loving service. Transcendental loving service means this, that everything a devotee does allows him to think of Krishna with love. That's devotional service. And never forget it. Therefore, Krishna explained devotional service in the 12th chapter, after clearing up that personalism is the best way. He says, verse number 8 of the 12th chapter. This is the devotional service. Maya Ramana Adaspa Maya Udim Nivesha Vasishyasi Maya Atma Udvamma Samsa. Just fix your mind upon Me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in Me. Thus you will live in Me always without a doubt. In the next verse, he explains, my dear Arjuna, if you cannot fix your mind upon Me without deviation, then follow the regular principles of Bhakti Yoga, in this way develop a desire to attain Me. So this ability to understand Krishna and to think of Krishna is very rare, even for great sages and demigods. It is the topmost level of transcendental situation. And the ability to always think of Krishna, there must be, one can do that if there is actually loving, one's heart is pure and that love of God is there, then you can see Krishna always. There must be love, otherwise. There must be purified love, very high standard of love within the heart, and not for the material energy, but for Krishna. Now, generally, as Prabhupada says, that even persons who officially come to the temple for one reason or another, get some bruschetta, you know, live a social life, you know, remove the karma, you know, do a little worship, do something, understand Krishna, something. Even they cannot understand Krishna, I've had explained that. Even, you know, you find that, I know, many devotees, especially if they've had some attraction, you know, particular temples in India, especially, you know, from the Indian background, so, and they've worshipped Vishnu as supreme, even after years in Krishna consciousness, it's hard for them to switch from Vishnu to Krishna, just, you know, even after many years, it's not easy, even for trained devotees in Shadam. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given a process, which we'll hear about in the next verses. But thinking of Krishna, therefore, is not easy, and it should not be done artificially. It should be done in an appropriate way. As Krishna says himself, if one really doesn't have that absolute faith in Krishna and love for Krishna, one should follow the regular principles as set out. And there are many different things that one can, you know, begin to, as Prabhupada mentions in the purports, one can put a picture of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and offer some incense and some flowers regularly, daily. You know, to develop a little attachment. Every day, you know, before you go to work, before you do anything, you've got your picture of Krishna there, Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, you know, the Panchatattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You offer a flower, some incense, a little food, then you eat the prasad. Now, if one can't do that on a regular basis, the attachment to Krishna is not there, on a day, or maybe I'll do that once a week, once every couple of weeks, it's difficult to do. Then, you know, we have to understand. So, even some living principles are very difficult. Where's the question of spontaneous love? You know, one should try to chant the names of Krishna. So, at least in 24 hours, take 10 minutes, chant one round of japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Think of Krishna. 10 minutes out of 24 hours in a day on those two hours. But I've got so much love for Krishna. I have so much love for Krishna. I'm always thinking of Krishna. So, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, when we help people to engage in devotional service so they can always think of Krishna, it is done very carefully because we understand. Even for devotees practicing devotional service, understanding Krishna, you know, it's done. We can understand Krishna exactly according to the level of loving devotion we're performing, and not otherwise. If our loving devotional service is on this platform, we cannot think of Krishna and love Krishna on that platform. Not possible. Because Krishna says, according to your love, as you know, surrender unto me, I reciprocate. Therefore, in our general, we help people to think of Krishna by giving them reading matter which is suitable. So we'll speak about it, just like we spoke about the Gita here. You know, we haven't gone to different, and we're speaking Prabhupada. We haven't gone to some of the Acharya's books or, you know, on higher levels. And there's so much nectar. Huh? So much nectar in just, you know, we can barely, you know, this 1 hour, just there's not enough time. There's so many things you'd like to say. But so much description like that. But these are the sorts of things that, you know, to help people to understand Krishna, that he is the personality of Godhead, you know, he is the sort, the Vishnu and the universal form and Brahman, they're all subordinate to Krishna. And for devotees, the meditation on the universal form is, you know, for our jivas, you know, take it away. you know, things that are very attractive to others. You know, for a devotee who just wants to love Krishna and not have that disturbing Krishna facilitate that love, that's a whole different level. So in the way that we, but we definitely, you know, we should not, even, you know, say with Krishna Leela, you know, we distribute Krishna book on the streets, but generally because Prabhupada, he doesn't hang around on subject matters in Krishna Leela too much. So people will read the pastime to the gopis and this and that and the other, they just move on to the next chapter. So that's okay. It's sort of incidental reading like that. And very nicely explained by Prabhupada. But we don't read that there are some books that, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada said, you know, such as books by Gopikanda Corner and, you know, like that. Prabhupada says he didn't even discuss those with the Panchadatta. What to speak of others? Right? So the topics of that question, which are just so intimate, they deal on platforms of intimate, loving devotional service, that's not possible to be intellectually understood. And as we get warning from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we get warning from Prabhupada, we get warning from Bhaktisiddhanta, and, you know, Prabhupada, that if, you know, one artificially tries to think of Krishna not following the Acharyas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process, by jumping up and thinking of very elevated topics of Krishna way beyond one's ability, it will disturb one's mind. Because within our hearts, we have, you know, material desires, we have envy. And if the proper understanding that fixed up faith that Krishna is God is not, that is the platform, if that's not there, hearing about the intimate pastimes of Krishna will actually disturb one's devotional service. Very dangerous to do. Should not be done. And also, at the end of the Gita, even the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says at the end of the Gita, do not speak this to those who are not austere or who are envious. Even the Gita, one has to be very careful to speak about the books. And, you know, therefore, so for instance, here in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada step by step very nicely takes us through understanding Krishna in his personal form and how devotees like to love him, how to avoid the impersonal tendencies, how Krishna is supreme above everything. He discusses about you know, the devotees, you know, how the cowherd boys, you know, they treated Krishna not as God but as a friend. They're all discussed in the Gita in the appropriate format. But without that basic understanding, to hear pastimes where people are treating Krishna in a very offhand way, or Krishna is interacting with his gopis or what have you, that is very difficult, you know, for someone to, you know, to conceive. Their concept of Krishna being God is really tested by that. So, for instance, with some books, so for instance, with some books by Kavikana Purna, the pastimes of Krishna are presented. Krishna's killing the demons, so many things. But what Kavikana Purna does is his whole book, the theme of it is conjugal love. Because even when talking about you know, Krishna lifting the Govardhan Hill, he brings down the real focus of how Krishna is looking at the gopis. And, you know, some of the details, when Krishna steals the garments of the unmarried gopis, some of the details are just too much. You know, Krishna's treating them like he treated them like dolls. You know, you say to someone that Krishna treated these young girls like dolls. You know, that's very difficult. You know, for a person who can't understand Krishna, the person who got it in these transient loving exchanges, there are some concepts which are even for devotees. I know that even discussing some of those topics, you know, and giving classes on them, even from Krishna, very difficult even for some devotees, you know, some statements like that. So, but the theme of some of those books, although it appears to be the same pastimes you get in the Krishna book, but the theme of it is conjugal love. That, and therefore, as Krishna comes of age, between 5 and 10, it describes how his body transforms and becomes very attractive to the gopis. So those things are not mentioned, they're hinted at in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna book, but to go into that much detail with those who are not qualified is not appropriate. So there is so much nectar in the Gita, and there's so much nectar in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's so much nectar in Srimad Prabhupada books, and of course, whatever way we help people to think of Krishna must be from Prabhupada. That's number one. And then even amongst devotees, when we're studying with those who are appropriate, Prabhupada books, we look at the commentary, especially studying, you know, Bhaktivedanta's 10th Canto, which will come to 10th Canto here, we'll study it in morning classes. We sometimes mention some of the acharyas, the quotes and what have you, for a little embellishment, for the purpose of showing that everything is in Prabhupada books. You know, for the purpose, you know, just a little, there's nothing wrong with that. But our main way that we help people to think of Krishna is Prabhupada book. Because Prabhupada, we know that when you distribute one of Prabhupada's books, people want to become a devotee and they want to think of Krishna. They're potent, Lord Chaitanya, and the whole way that Prabhupada has written his books means that even the most elevated subjects, he has presented them in such a way that if, you know, someone's just coming off the street and they hear it and it's presented properly by the speaker, even they'll be able to accommodate it. Not that they should hang around that particular elevated point for too long. So you notice in all the Prabhupada's lectures, he touched from the beginning of his preaching in 1966. He was telling his devotees about the gopis and about very elevated topics, but he didn't hang around it in his lectures for ages and ages. So the point being that in order to stop the process of karma bandhana, we have to think of Krishna. That should be in our consciousness fully. But teaching people to think of Krishna has to be done through the process given to us by Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas. Otherwise, thinking of Krishna done in an inappropriate way will actually have a different effect. It will not produce the desired effect for the speaker or the hearer. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says, he wants the devotees to preach, but he says, don't speak this to those who are not as to hear. Remember, so even if the devotee is haphazard in preaching the Gita, Krishna doesn't like it. So that's not, devotional service should be favorable. But what does Krishna like? We'll just speak about the topics. Okay. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
Initially you were mentioning about the impersonalist being superior to, of course, materialists. We don't understand because they have idea about the soul and the Lord being, because that they are Brahman and the Supreme is also Brahman.
Yeah.
So then, but we see in most of our day-to-day results which we get from people becoming devotees are those who are not of that understanding, rather are simple people who have no way supreme brahmanas. They're just off the street, or they're just simple people.
Mm.
They take up the process of Krishna consciousness, accept Krishna as God, as a person, than that category of people. So then, just trying to understand, because they don't even know that they're soul, for example.
Yes.
But theoretically, they're not
really good. That's a good point. So Arjun is actually saying that, you know, sometimes the average person, they're not think, you know, not even thinking, I am Brahman, or, you know, I am one with the Brahman. So we just usually engage in the world ourselves. So this is what Prabhupada, this is what Krishna says in the Gita. So when Krishna says, you know, just fix your mind upon me, so Prabhupada mentions in his purport, he says, therefore Krishna is not recommending the impersonal process. We don't recommend that to anyone. We tell them it's difficult, it's a lot of pitfalls, and there's no guarantee of success, and it can cause impediments on the path. So we don't actually recommend anyone to follow that. And if they are following it, we don't take a lot of interest in it, but we try not to offend them. Krishna says that throughout the Gita, Prabhupada says Krishna is recommending the process of bhakti yoga, the love and devotional service. So we only, what Krishna recommends, we just recommend that as well from the very beginning. But if someone is on some path like that, if they, you know, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, and as Krishna says, that impersonal path is a process for those who can't, you know, have faith in the personal form of the Lord. It is a process, because at least they should understand that I am of spiritual quality, or one with Brahman. I am of that spiritual quality. I am not one with the material energy or of that quality. That understanding we should applaud. But when we see that, as Prabhupada says in the Gita, such persons, there is good chance for them, because if it's impossible for them even to understand and love the body, but if they're already on that platform, then, and they haven't gone too far in impersonalism, it's actually a plus. And then we can take that, and a devotee can say, that's right, you're spiritual. But there's a little more to that.
Mm.
And there's variety on that spiritual path. So then the devotee can applaud that,
yeah,
and take it. So, and take it rather than criticizing, because it is actually something good. What we discourage is, you know, be careful of, you know, identifying yourself more than a particle of Brahman, or, you know, identifying yourself as the whole supreme. You know, be careful of that, don't go that far. And consider yourself God, or that because you are spiritual, anything you do in your material body is somehow, you know, okay. Or that whatever anyone, you know, be careful of the misuse of that knowledge. Whatever anyone does, anything anyone does is okay. We're all part of the Supreme, after all. You know, so we have to catch out where there, you know, there will be knowledge, and we have to catch out that, but not to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So that what they have got right, we should always encourage people like that, you know, flatter them. Wow, that's, you know, you're such a rare person. I speak to so many persons, and so many people haven't understood that they're not the body, that they're the spiritual. That is, you know, you flatter someone, and they say, tell me more. But if you're critical, you know, if we're critical in our preaching, not acknowledging something, you don't get such a good response. You know, they stop hearing. You know. Mm. So Krishna himself, you know, it is a process. Any other questions?
I was trying to understand, analyze what you were saying now, the importance of understanding Krishna in order then to interact in a loving relationship with him. So, and it has to be based in what the Acharya is setting the outcast process. And also trying to understand how Srila Prabhupada through the is presenting Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam, the example about the whole aspect of Krishna Bhagavan Swayam, the Kansakarasam, Krishna's to us, and all that he mentioned who he is. So at the same time, as a part of our process of purification, is because gradually as we understand Krishna, we are purifying our heart. And Krishna is revealing himself. But understanding Krishna naturally will come all awareness because it's so amazing, it's so big, it's incredible, all his qualities, all his potency. It's like it's overwhelming in one point. But that experience of understanding Krishna can be a watch for that loving exchange, loving interaction, because it's so overwhelming. So I'm trying to understand that understanding of God. Mm. How can facilitate that loving exchange? Because that is the goal. Mm. And it's the natural propensity of the soul.
So we're encouraged in the detail, and Krishna tells Arjuna in many different chapters, in the seventh chapter, these are my energies, every material, spiritual, all coming from them. And the tenth chapter, you know, he describes, and here are some of the opulence that manifested by my different energies. So, and this is all coming from just the spark of my expansion, in other words, my expansion of the expansion of vision. All of this is just a little... So, try and understand, God. This is God. Okay. We have to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That stage must be first. And that is the platform from which we can then say, yes, I'm so convinced that Krishna is God, now I want to learn to love him. If you're not convinced Krishna is God, and you say, oh, I'm going to love Krishna, it's not going to happen, is it? Even on a material platform, someone says, this will be your best friend. There's a person in America, and they'll be your best friend. They're a wonderful person. Oh, you can't, you have to meet the person, and you have to get a little faith in them. Can I speak to them confidentially? Are they going to blow it out of anything I've just told them? then you learn to trust them, and you see that, gee, they've got really good qualities. Look, I can take this person as a friend. I'm going to develop an intimate friendship with them. Not that you develop an intimate friendship first, you don't even trust a person. Okay? So it doesn't work like that. We have to understand that Krishna is God, then, yes, I just want to learn to love him. I understand he's God, but I want to love him. I don't want to, reciprocate him because he's God, and he's fulfilling all my, orders and desires, whatever. I want to learn that pure love like that. Because he is the most lovable person. He is an ocean of love. Who better to love than Krishna? So we have to come to that point first. And to do that, we engage in devotional service as prescribed in the Parampara system coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That there are certain subject matters which are fit to read at different levels. And even if other subject matters, because as we're going through the Bhagavatam, if a new devotee joins when we're reading the 10th canto, they'll hear that. So then we have to also present the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, and even the chapter dealing with Krishna, dealing with the gopis, understanding that some new people have just come, and they've come in while we're speaking the 10th canto, and we have to present that in such a way that they will also immediately understand we're talking about God and His spiritual energies. That has to be made very clearly, not to go too much into pastimes without proper explanation, and they get confused. But appropriate teaching, appropriate reading at appropriate times for different persons, and service. Therefore, in this verse, the answer to your question is given by Krishna himself. In verse 11 of the 10th chapter, Krishna says, Tishamalana Kampartam, Ahama Jnana Jantanaha, Nasiyama Abhavasto, Jnana Dapinya Vasvata. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, in your heart as well, and I, destroyed with the shining lamp of knowledge, everything being revealed, the darkness born of ignorance. So, Srila Prabhupada explains different points here, but I'm going to highlight some of the essential points here. The Mayavadi philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. For then, this answer is given by the Supreme Lord. Those who engage in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education and without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, are still helped by the Supreme God as stated in this verse. The Lord tells Arjuna that basically there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by speculating. For the Supreme Truth is so great that it is not possible to understand Him or to achieve Him simply by making a mental effort. Okay? So even if we read books by certain acharyas on the elevated pastimes of the Lord and make that mental effort, we'll not understand. It comes back to the Lord will reveal those pastimes that when you read them, you actually relish them on the transcendental platform according to one's devotional service. Otherwise, just a mental effort is not possible. He said, men can go on speculating for several millions of years, and if he is not devoted, he is not a lover of the Supreme Truth. If he is not a lover of the Supreme Truth, he will never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Only by devotional service is the Supreme Truth, Krishna, pleased. And by His inconceivable energy, He can reveal Himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, and with His presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. Due to contamination and material associations with many, many millions of births, one's heart is covered with the dust of materialism. But when one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service, and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious, because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service to the devotee, of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. That's the essence. Very good. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord. So that's number one. By studying the Gita, you can become a soul completely surrendered to the Lord and engage yourself in pure devotional service. Unless you surrender to Krishna, you are the personality of God. How can you engage in full devoted loving devotional service? How is it possible to be? So by studying the Gita, you can come to that platform. So Krishna is God, and then by engaging in pure devotional service, Krishna reveals to the devotee how to advance in that, even to the point of the spontaneous loving platform of the Vrajavasis. That is revealed by Krishna. What is the nature of that love? What is the nature of that devotional service? What is the nature of Krishna's reciprocation? That is revealed to Krishna when they come to the point, you are God, I surrender unto you, and you engage in devotional service, which is pleasing to the Guru, the Parampara, Srila Prabhupada, and the Acharyas, all the way up to Lord Chaitanya, never doing anything that they would not recommend. Then Krishna reveals how you can actually develop that love and advance in that love. You want to, yes, Krishna, I want to advance in that prema, that loving exchange, like the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna will reveal how to do that, and he will reveal himself how he is reciprocating with that. That is by revelation. And as the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. We should not approach devotional service with our materialistic brain, mental prowess, so-called mental prowess, or material qualifications. If we actually just do the things, just like Jayananda, we read the pastimes of Jayananda. Jayananda, Prabhupada wanted us to meditate on his pastimes. He's a disciple who is doing the right thing and won't be able to do it. What is that? I'll work hard to chant Hare Krishna nicely, establish the temple where people can come and learn the regular process of devotional service, establish the festivals like Rath Yatra so that people can join in somehow or another and think of Krishna. All the things that Prabhupada recommended, I will give my life and soul and my money to. And that's what he did. And by that, he became qualified to love God in the spiritual world. Krishna revealed that. Krishna for that. That is that process.
The different levels in this process of purification and also pure loving exchange with the Lord, the dynamic between knowledge and Ananda, it means devotional service and pure, how that works in the different stage that we pass through, we need to pass through.
Yeah.
I like the way when you say that by understanding knowledge is the base platform where we can then gradually get a loving exchange with the Lord. At the same time, while we are practicing or getting knowledge and through the authorized way, acharyas, by being engaged in devotional service, that dynamic, the support
between knowledge and that loving exchange.
In order to manifest that loving exchange.
In the beginning. That knowledge develops through the Gita, where we can understand everything we need to understand to have full knowledge that just by thinking of Krishna and surrendering to Krishna, everything is perfectly done. We become completely released from the material world, and it is our path back to the spiritual world. And we will develop original sentiments of the soul, that love for God will come. So by just thinking of Krishna, serving Krishna, that will be done. So as we read Gita, that knowledge brings us to that point of complete faith with full understanding. It's faith with without doubt. Complete faith in Krishna means there's no doubts. If we have some doubts, there's a little something I don't understand. I have some doubt about this. Read the Gita. Remove that doubt. When all your doubts are removed just by the Gita, when there's no more doubts there, I just have complete faith. On that platform, that full surrender in devotional service can manifest properly, and on that platform of devotional service, even when you're cultivating knowledge, of Krishna, it's not so much because the doubts have been removed, it's for the purpose of just thinking of Krishna, to love it.
Yeah.
So then when you're, scouring through Prabhupada's books, you're gaining so much knowledge, but not because you want to understand God, it's because you just want to think of Krishna, he's so loving in his different ways, so many wonderful qualities like that. So then it becomes for the purpose of just thinking of Krishna because you love him so much. And we also cultivate that knowledge for the sake of, because we love Krishna and we want to be very dear to him, we know that if we can become very expert in giving this knowledge to others and preaching in such a way that we remove doubts and smash all arguments, Krishna become very pleased, then for that purpose we also cultivate knowledge. All for the purpose of love. So in the beginning it is for the purpose of cultivating faith in Krishna without the slightest doubt that allows us to then surrender in devotional service, and then even though for the rest of our lives we'll still be cultivating knowledge in one sense, but it's not for the purpose of understanding Krishna, because that's not possible because Krishna is unlimited. But it is for the purpose we just want to think about. Therefore, in the previous verse it says the devotees are always, hearing and chanting about me, engaged in transcendental bliss. They just, because they love Krishna, they don't want to think about anything else. It's not possible for them, if their love is there, they cannot but think of Krishna. So, and these books are filled with topics of Krishna. Anything related to Krishna, because they love him, therefore, you see, Prabhupada, if he's reading the 10th canto, if he's reading Srimad Bhagavatam, if he's reading the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita, you can see anything that is related to Krishna, Prabhupada's all over it. Because he loves Krishna. So, here's the first Krishna spoke this verse. First verse of the Gita. This is Krishna's book. See? It doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter which part you read, just anything that reminds you of Krishna. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time someone was fanning the peacock, the king, and I think it was Mukunda. He saw the peacock for a reminder of Krishna, and he just fell down and swooned the blood of God and ecstasy. Because the slightest thing that reminds someone of Krishna, that's okay. The devotee is all over that. Prasadam. This is Krishna's prasadam. Krishna has eaten this and given this, his remnants to us. And it doesn't matter that it's cold, is it rice, is it, where's the chutney, there's no chutney, what's going on? So, no, there's a grain of prasadam. This is Krishna's mercy. So in the beginning, knowledge is like that we have to come to a certain point, but that isn't essential. And then that allows us to properly engage in devotional service and hear and chant more confidential information that we are, Krishna will help us to actually realize as we're hearing and chanting that, and we'll get the proper effect from that. So, but if we do devotional service haphazardly, not under the as Prabhupada and the Acharyas and Lord Chaitanya has recommended, our devotional life will be haphazard. We'll do things that displease Krishna and the Acharyas and cause havoc for people that we're trying to preach to, and it's not recommended.
I was also remembering what you were mentioning, how the knowledge or understanding of Krishna can be have different functions, because by knowing about Krishna, understanding Krishna, can facilitate your devotion and service. Like what is his taste, what he likes, what is his preference. Mm-hmm. So based on that, you also can be engaged on that. At the same time, when we see the expressions of those pure devotees, like Yasodhara, the gopis, all of them, they don't want to know that Krishna is in all his opulence, because it's overwhelming. Mm. They just want Krishna. Krishna as a person,
mm.
and it's necessary for them to forget, so-called forget. It's not forgetting, but it's just in the background that knowledge, in order just to purely interact with him as a person, not because his energies and his potencies. So that level of the function of knowledge in that way
mm-hmm.
is needed to be in the background, but in the beginning, in being the flower, because you need that to interact in a loving, or please be engaged in service.
Yeah, so they're not without knowledge of God, but Krishna arranged. So, in other words, Madhya Sari also saw universal form.
Yeah.
She's not missing any knowledge that God is, you know, Krishna's the source of everything. It's just that it doesn't register. So it's not as if they're lacking something, but you know, she's thinking, oh, maybe what's going on by head, you know, strange things happen there. I saw the whole universe is in Krishna's mouth. It's not that they're without knowledge, but it just doesn't register because Krishna maintains, as we said, when Krishna killed Uttama, he maintained his baby form. And that focus that's so attractive and excites one of the Yashodas' natural love that it didn't get disturbed. So by Krishna Yoga Maya, his pastimes keep his, you know, Brajavasis on that platform, that even when somehow or another his opulences are revealed, still he performs that pastime in such a way that his pastimes still capture their mood and don't allow it to be disturbed. So that's the arrangement of his spiritual energy that does that. He does that for them. But so even the knowledge that he has got manifest in front of him, still it just doesn't register. Just don't take it on, because they're just so absorbed in that love and it's never disturbed for a minute, for a second, by Krishna's grace.
It's another nice view, the way how you presented that Krishna didn't want it to disturb the mood of his own mind. And that aspect made him great, because we, that we hear that,
yes.
we say, oh, so attractive, so how respectful he is about the mood of his devotee.
Yes. That's right, exactly. So before we said, God is love, but what is that? God is great, he's God, but he didn't disturb Madhya Sari's love. That's great. So much nice meditation, and all of this we're just getting, you know, from the Bhagavad Gita and you know, the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So nice. So Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Nanda.